On the Mark, back from the Super Bowl. Check out the Fansided YouTube channel for more interviews. 69 interviews we did down in Miami. Outstanding time. Thank you to Hunter Armour and Josh Hill and Richard Durante and Mike Zach, all our guys down there, Ashley Young. It was an experience that I always really, really enjoy. And I picked out three interviews for you today. Nick Wright, followed by Martha Stewart, followed by Shannon Sharp. Now, Nick and I got into Kobe. Martha and I talked about how to properly change your bed and how often sheets should be changed, amongst everything else. And then Shannon Sharp and I went at it on Michael and LeBron. I highly recommend the conversation. Thank you for checking out On the Mark, and check out the YouTube channel. We are back from the Super Bowl. Let's start it out with Nick Wright right now.
Shakira, Shakira.
First things first, my good friend Nick Wright at the Super Bowl. It's an awkward.
Put your hand up.
Oh, you're getting
your hand up.
I'm married.
The last time I saw Mark Carmen was at his wedding. But you wouldn't know that from the fact that he's out of town, away from the wife for a week, and there's no wedding ring on.
I'm one of the people that's married to a beautiful, amazing woman who does not need me to wear the ring. I'm not a jewelry guy. I don't do the
okay,
necklaces.
Okay, well, then that's fine. So you don't like the jewelry, so you don't want to wear the ring.
I don't.
Okay, then do what I did. Just get the tattoo name. You can do
Wow. So, I didn't know you did that. That's a big-time move by you.
Yeah, so if you're not going to wear the ring, or you could do both. You gotta, I feel like you're going to do neither.
I don't like pain. Tattoos are painful.
Pain. Oh, I thought you said paying. Both are true. You don't like pain or paying. What are we talking about?
I want to talk to you about Kobe.
Okay.
Because, look, you're
hard turn.
You occasionally get tied in with LeBron every now and then. And, I grew up idolizing, worshiping Michael. So, for me, with Kobe, it was a rivalry.
Yep.
And then it's like, at the end of it, I finally was like, oh, my God. This dude was simply incredible, and everything about him, you have to appreciate Mamba mentality, how hard he worked, and everything he was doing off the court. Now, I mean, it's just, obviously it's a huge loss of that, but it's interesting. Like, I think a lot of people with Kobe who didn't like him still respected him to the end of the earth.
So, yeah, so this is what you touched on there is really interesting, which is Kobe was polarizing in a million different ways for a lot of different reasons, a lot very, very positive, but he had these rivalries. And it was somewhat him versus the person, but mostly fans versus each other. So it was Kobe, Shaq, pick a side.
Right.
Kobe, MJ, pick a side. And then Kobe, LeBron, pick a side. And because of that, you had a group of people on his side that were almost zealot-like in their fandom in defense of him. And then you had a group of people on the other side of which people could fairly say I was a group of. In the group of that would maybe unfairly pick at the flaws instead of appreciating, listen, this is the eighth greatest basketball player ever. He's the third greatest guard ever. And I'm not equipped to talk about the totality of the loss because his daughter is involved and there are two other young girls involved. And I tried to on television today and I broke down. So I'm going to do this on a very, like, superficial basketball level because I'll say before I get to the superficial basketball stuff, I owe a lot of people an apology. The people who have been touched by celebrity deaths that I've always never said it out loud, but in my head rolled my eyes at, like, oh, this person you've never met, you're grieving the loss. But now I get it. I totally get it because I'm gutted. Yeah. With what happened to Kobe. Gutted. But to the basketball side, I spent so much time picking at him. Listen, man, year four, he throws one of the best passes in NBA history, the lob to Shaq. Game seven, they win a title. Year five, he averages 29 in the regular season and the postseason. Scores 48 in a playoff closeout game. Year six, they have one tough series, the one against the Kings. He's 23 years old. He goes 30-31-30 in games 5, 6, 7. Year 10, it's not just that he averaged 35. It's not just that he scored 81. He scored 62 in three quarters, was asked why he didn't play the fourth to get to 80, and said, I'll do it another night, and did it another night.
Right.
Right.
And then had the three straight finals appearances, including two titles. I mean, it is such a, and part, the tragedy, there's so many layers of the tragedy, but one of the layers is, so we're not used to NBA stars passing. So if you had the 35 greatest players in the history of basketball in a room, up until yesterday, 33 of them were alive. Only Wilt and Moses are gone.
Yeah, I was thinking about Wilt and
Moses. Wilt and
Moses.
Those are the only ones.
Yep, go ahead.
And now Kobe as well. Of the league, of the guys who have won league MVP, all are still with us except for Wilt, Moses, and now Kobe. But Kobe was going to have such an interesting next act. He was already having it. And as a father, and this is where it's hard for me because I lived a year and a half away from my kids. Never get that time back. But in my head, I'll make it up on the back end. I right now work two jobs, morning and evening. I'm doing it for a better future. I'm doing it for my kids. I'm also doing it selfishly because I love it. But I'll make it up. I'll make it up. And Kobe was doing that. He was like, I'm making it up. I'm coaching our team. I'm doing it. And now he's gone. And so I don't know how you deal with it.
Right. The videos of where I really felt is like, there he is with his daughter in his house, and he's up on her, and she steps into him and shoots the jump shot, and he's hitting layups. Like, oh my God,
he was
going to
be
painful.
An unbelievable advocate for women's sports.
Yeah, 100%.
So we don't have a lot of male advocates for women's sports, like superstar males.
Yeah.
You have people that pay lip service or whatever, but Kobe a week ago said, I think two or three WNBA players could play in the NBA, and I don't think he meant it literally. I think he was honestly issuing a challenge to his daughter. I think he was trying to, in a nice way, say, put no ceilings. Don't have the WNBA be your goal. Have the NBA be your goal and see where you go. And I don't think I fully processed that he's gone.
Well, and that part of it too, his guys coming up in here, his era, they all worshipped MJ, and they all had moves like Michael, but he literally took on his entire game and was able to do it, which just, it speaks to his talent. It also speaks to what he's willing to step into. Like, I'm going to go at that guy and try to be better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And then
worked with Akeem,
right?
And learned some footwork, stole a little from Dirk with the you shot. Like, he
was
always learning all of it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, so let's switch over to your team's playing in the Super Bowl, Nick.
Yeah.
This is like glorious time for you. LeBron's
yes,
at the top of the NBA.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback in Kansas City. You're taking
true.
On the Niners. I mean, you have a TV show, you have a radio show.
Here's the thing.
Your
Go
life
ahead.
Is incredible.
Go
ahead.
Okay, well, listen. I appreciate that. There's nothing I do today that will be better than these 10 minutes right here. Listen, the Chiefs could lose.
Of
the
course.
Niners are excellent. They have a great pass rush. The thing is this. I know Dan Marino went in year two and never went back. I know that has happened. There is not a team in the NFL with a brighter present or a brighter future than the Chiefs. And I can't believe it because it's the team I grew up rooting for. And that's purely because we have the best player in the league by a mile. Like, by an enormous margin, he's better than everybody.
Yeah.
That's all.
And
I still can't believe it.
I just want to throw in there that, I'm not a diehard Bears fan like you're a diehard Chiefs fan, but the fact that the Bears trade up from 3-2 to draft Mitchell Trubisky and Patrick,
by the way, then everyone crushes the Bears. The Niners then are sitting there at 3. They didn't have Jimmy G yet. They could have taken Deshaun Watson or Mahomes. Instead, they take Solomon Thomas. A lot of teams. The Jags took Leonard Fournette. The Browns passed on Watson and Mahomes twice. But I think we're short on time. Can I just point something out to the audience?
What are you going to do?
He does. I mean, he is wearing
MAC right
a monogram shirt. And, I mean, his name
right.
with the
right.
lining. You're out here right. making fun of me. for wearing.
You're wearing a pink jumpsuit. You're a national TV host with a national radio show. Yeah. You're walking around here like.
Yeah, you used to. People don't know, and I'll be very brief here. Carm and I used to work together at a radio station in Kansas City, and Carm thought I dressed poorly for the job.
Horrendously.
And he would say, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And what I told him then, and I will repeat now, a decade later, is I am dressing for the job I want. The job I want is that I am so successful that I can wear sweatpants to work. And smash cut to 10 years later, and you're wearing a monogram blazer because you think you got to dress up for the gig, and I'm wearing a sweatsuit feeling super comfortable. How about that?
Nick Wright, you're right. We're out of time on that
See
one.
See you, buddy.
I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Hey, girl, I can see your body moving.
Okay, it's rare nowadays that I get nervous for an interview, but with America's number one homemaker, Martha Stewart, I don't know if I can handle this, Martha. I got to be honest. Welcome
to
the fan side.
Yes, you can. Take it easy. Take a deep breath.
Well, I just got married. I'm struggling with, you know, making the bed and making macaroni.
Do you have arguments when you make the bed?
Yes, as to who's going to do it and how quickly, that type of thing.
Oh, you don't do it together?
No, no.
Because that's when I used to have so many bad arguments making the bed with my husband. Oh. He always wrinkled the sheets, and he didn't take the right selvage, and, you know, all those things. The hem was upside down, and it was such a horrible thing. I think it's much better if you leave it to your wife.
See, well, why does it matter if the sheet is, like, perfectly done? Like,
but it matters because it's more comfortable. Yeah, the bed is nicely made.
So
do you sleep with a top sheet or just a duvet?
No top sheet.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I think that's important.
Is it tucked in at the bottom or loose?
Sometimes. So what would you do?
Oh, it has to be tucked in.
Yeah. But then how do you get comfortable?
Not the sides. Yes, because I don't like my feet to stick out.
See, everybody's got their thing here, Martha.
You want your feet to stick out? Does your wife want her feet to stick out?
I like to go over the top of the duvet, so I have a little bit of an actual air on one leg and the warmth underneath. Because sometimes it gets a little, what happens if it's summertime?
Well, then you don't have a duvet in the summertime.
See, that's one of my mistakes. My duvet is a year-round thing.
Oh, do you wash it? How often do you wash your bed?
We probably wash the bed more than I ever have.
Yeah.
Maybe once every, the duvet itself, 2 months.
What about the sheets? How often do you change the bed?
Probably a week.
Every week?
Every week. Is that enough?
Two people sleeping in one bed and you only wash it once a week?
I'm going to have trouble here. My wife is going to be in. How many days?
No, I took a survey once just because I thought it was a funny thing.
Yeah.
And the survey showed that the average American of a certain age, it's probably millennials, once every 3 weeks. And that is disgusting.
That's
disgusting.
So your Martha Stewart's recommendation is?
Well, if you can, it's best to do it like at least every 5 days.
Every 5 days.
Yes. Okay. Change your bed, wash the sheets, refresh, da-da-da. Yeah.
So how did, when you think back on your incredible career, how did this happen for you? Like, what?
Well, I focused on an area of life that is very interesting to me, which is called living. And it's living is like limitless. There's everything you do is you're living. So it was kind of easy, actually. People think it was brilliant, to become the homemaker. But actually, it really it paid off. We have certainly built a fine reputation about knowing how to do things, inspiring people, informing people about good things. And so that's why I'm sitting here in this huge, huge arena here. It's like a convention center. You don't know how big this place is and how many different outlets are interviewing.
7 million outlets.
Yeah, 7 million outlets, all kinds of radio stations and television stations talking about the Super Bowl.
How many Super Bowls have you been to? Do you know?
Oh, at least 20.
Okay.
20. Yeah, I like Super Bowls. I like going to the last competitions.
Oh, there we go.
Like the Opens for tennis and the Super Bowls and the series for baseball. I do all that.
Have you been to Wimbledon?
I have been, yes.
See, that's on the bucket list. I would love to do
that. The French Open.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been to the Australian Open. But there are a lot of they show you the greatest of all the athletes, usually.
So yeah, no doubt. You're working with Tostitos today, which is key for your Super Bowl.
Oh, yes. Pepsi is putting forth and sells at this time of year for the Super Bowl 500 million pounds of snacks.
That's a lot of snacks.
500 million. Isn't that incredible?
We like
to eat.
I was
like, oh my gosh, yeah. And what better time than the Super Bowl to snack on delicious things? Like, they made a special new Tostitos, and Snoop and I did the commercial.
Right.
For Tostitos. He does the chip, and I do the avocado salsa, which is sort of like a creamy salsa, more like a guacamole. And it's delicious, actually. I ate a whole jar while we were doing the commercial, and it's very good. And so we had a lot of fun making the commercial, and just one of many products that they make for snacking.
People are loving this connection with you and Snoop.
Oh yeah, he's fun. Snoop is fun to work with. Could be a little difficult, but so can I. But we together have never had an argument. We would never argue with each other.
How can you be difficult, Martha Stewart?
Oh, many ways. But he's sad now because of his friend, Kobe.
Oh, Kobe, of course.
And I was on the Kelly Clarkson show just a couple months ago with
Kobe.
Yeah, with Kobe Bryant, with the great basketball player. I mean, he's such a pleasant man. Such a friendly, nice man.
Intelligent.
Yeah, intelligent, hardworking.
Inspirational.
Devoted to kids and that beautiful daughter. It's a real sad story. So I feel sorry for Snoop. He's pretty broken up.
Yeah, many, many people are. Kobe,
yeah.
one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
So, all right, but before you go, I want to know, like, what is your favorite thing to do as far as, like, I mean, Is it the cooking? Is it the cleaning? Is it the gardening? I mean, where are you most at home? Where are you really enjoying yourself? If you only could pick one.
Okay. Well, this morning before I left for the airport, which was early to catch the plane in White Plains, I made I made breakfast for the plane, for everybody on the plane. I baked bread yesterday, and I sliced that up. Delicious sourdough bread. And I steamed some soft, hard-boiled eggs.
Mm.
And I packed that up with salt and pepper for the plane. And then I made a great big bread pudding for the farm guys at the farm so that they would have that for their coffee break. And then by 8 o'clock I was on the plane. So I think cooking.
Yeah.
But I also like to garden. I grow everything.
But there's...
I love to garden.
It sounds like you get great satisfaction in giving.
Yeah. Well, I do.
Yeah.
I do. But I also like building and making things and creating new things. So that's why I continue with my career.
What's the latest thing you've built?
I'm working on a CBD skincare line.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I saw you're getting involved in the CBD craze. So how come?
Well, it's not a craze. It's actually really good.
That is the wrong word.
Yeah, it's not a craze. It's actually a development that's kind of extraordinary using a plant that... heretofore hemp that's been used mostly for getting high.
Yeah.
It's a fun drug.
Yeah.
And yet there's some very good things in the hemp plant that really help your skin, autoimmune, calming, soothing.
Yeah.
And so I'm working on four really good products that you'll see soon.
Are we taking good enough care of this earth here, Martha Stewart?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and what do we got to do?
Well, a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of things to be done, and you know what the number one thing is.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's weird. I don't want to get too down the road here, but it doesn't seem like we care enough. I don't know. It's like we value the wallet more than anything else.
No, I think many people do care, and yet many people are being blindsided on the other side. That for some reason. Just don't believe in global warming and don't believe in all the other horrible things that are happening, and they're really wrong.
Let's hope
we're going to have a great Super Bowl.
We are going to have a great Super Bowl. We're going to eat some Tostitos, and we're going to love it up, Martha. Great.
I'll send you over a bowl.
I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And great to see you. The three-time Super Bowl champion, eight-time Pro Bowler, Shannon Sharpe, dealer with Skip Bayless every day. I know he's your number one advocate,
But people call me Carm. Can you give me a Carm, and like you would say, like the skip, can you when he's really getting underneath the skin?
Carm, come on, Carm.
Why do we gotta crown people so early in life here, Shannon Sharpe? Why does Patrick Mahomes gotta be the greatest quarterback of all time?
He's not the greatest. He's just the best in the NFL right now. He's not accomplished enough. He's not played long enough. You don't get to be the GOAT after winning the MVP, throwing for five. I don't care if you threw for 6,000 yards, 7,000 yards. You're not accomplished enough. There are too many guys that have done it far too long, far more accomplished for you to jump those guys.
See, and I do this, by the way. Could this guy be the greatest player ever? He's in year three, year two as a start. If he wins the Super Bowl, we're going to hear that conversation.
Yes, and deservedly so. You should. I mean, you know, the thing is, if I wait till the guy is at the end of his career and says, oh, yeah, well, he did. No, our job is to project. That's why you have a stock market. What do they project? That this company, this business is going to do. If I wait, there's a reason why you can't buy Google right now, because it's like $20,000 a share. Well, if you'd have got it at the ground floor, if you'd have projected, this was going to be one of the great companies, see? And plus, everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be ahead of the curve.
Of course.
You don't want to be behind the curve. You want to say, I told you. See, I told you that guy was going to be good. And rightfully so. But Patrick Mahomes is on an unbelievable. If he were to pull this off, to win a Super Bowl, and you look, I believe if they were to win this game, he's going to have to be the Super Bowl MVP. To be a Super Bowl MVP and a regular season MVP all by the your third year? Wow.
See, but this is where I think like they did guys like John Elway wrong. Now, he won at the end with you, but you can't tell me that John Elway wasn't one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time before he went back-to-back at the end. Don't we overvalue winning?
Well, that's what you said. You say it's all about winning. This is what you said. You said it's all about winning. And then when a guy doesn't win, well, it shouldn't be all about winning. No, you've already too late. You can't change the criteria now. You said it's all about winning, and then guys get upset about when guys go join other teams to win. We see that in basketball.
Right, but that's because jumping on with somebody else to help you win so you could say, I won.
Because you bashed Charles Barkley over his head because he didn't win a title.
But see, I
you
don't.
Bashed Karl Malone over his head. You bashed Patrick Ewing. So now these Kevin Durant says, I don't want you to bash me over my head to try to minimize how great a talent I was. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go link up.
See, and my thing is, don't listen to the bashers. You got to listen to the heart. Charles Barkley's got nothing to apologize for. Neither does Patrick
Ewing. The only difference is between what Red Auerbach did and Jerry West did is that the players are doing it themselves. Hold up. So did Dennis Johnson get drafted by the Celtics? Did Nate Archibald get drafted by the Celtics? So what's the difference?
Okay, fair point. And I love how you're doing this right now. I appreciate it, Shannon Sharpe. I appreciate the conversation. And I think what you're teeing up is that certain people out there, they don't like when an athlete has a little bit more power nowadays when they did in the – and that's straight wrong.
Right. Of course, look, guys have power. Look, basketball has always been the sport where the superstars have had the lion's share of the power.
Sure.
And so now what we're starting to see where some of those guys wouldn't use that power, these guys now, if they get the hammer, they'll swing it.
And they should. And,
yes.
And look, the way LeBron's going about it, it's – adding to his legacy.
Yes.
I won in Miami twice. I won in Cleveland. Now, he's got a great chance to do it in
LA.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. And you understand. Now, he's going to take a lot of the criticism when things don't go well because they look at him and says, okay, well, you kind of put this thing together. It didn't end like the way you wanted it to end, but you kind of put this together. So he gets a lot more blame when they lose as opposed to some of the other superstars that have lost. Because there ain't nobody blame Larry Bird when they lost to the Magic. Didn't nobody blame Magic when they lost to Detroit or when they lost to the Celtics or when they lost to Chicago. But anytime LeBron loses, he takes all the blame.
Well, it's interesting, though. Like, when he went to Miami, mm-hmm. to me, I'm not saying on like a Kevin Durant level going to Golden State, but it's like, okay, so you're going to jump on this team.
But the equivalent would have had to be him joining the Celtics that had won 58 games, had won in the finals.
Right.
Kevin Durant joined a 73-9 team that had beat him. We do realize that he had only won 47 games and got beat in the first round the year before he joined them.
That's true, but they didn't have Chris Bosh too. He brought another guy with him.
Really? I mean, how do you go from 73-9? So do you believe that 73-9 team was worse than the team that he joined?
No, KD's is 10 times worse. I'm not making that argument.
Okay, we're on the same team there.
And rewinding all the way back to where you started,
yeah.
You know, I was watching a video the other day, and Bobby Knight was talking about before MJ played game one in the league,
yeah.
That Olympic team was beating NBA guys Bird, Magic, and he's like, this dude's going to go down as the greatest player of all time. So he was an early buyer of Google,
right.
And he was right. And then I get to the LeBron conversation. Well, if he can just do it with the Lakers, then he'll be considered the greatest. Dude, we've seen his career. We've seen Michael. I don't care how many more titles he wins. We know MJ.
Do we? We do.
I do.
Okay. That's you.
You don't feel that way?
Mm-mm.
Don't tell me why.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, talk to me.
Because, I mean, see, he's like, well, he's 6-for-6. Okay, did he not play finals in the 80s?
Well, so, right, okay, but when he had the team to get there, they won,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And when they didn't.
So was Dennis Rodman any good?
Dennis Rodman was a great player, but
he led the league. He led every year that he was with the Bulls, he led the league in rebounding. You do realize
I don't think that's true. Are you
1,000% certain that's true?
Somebody check the stats on that.
Do you know Scottie Pippen was the All-Star Game MVP the year that Michael left? And he was a Hugh Hollins blown call away from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know that.
Yeah, I do. I also know that they lost in the second round now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't. I don't think they would have beaten Hakeem. Now, but that season,
I just want to know, okay.
Scottie Pippen, did
Mike play for the Wizards? So how far did they get with the Wizards?
He was 40.
Oh, but you're the GOAT.
Yeah.
But GOAT, so go eat. I just need you to get to that.
Hold on a second. Would you agree that the Detroit Pistons are one of the all-time great teams?
Whoa. But you don't say that about – so, hold on. The Detroit Pistons, all-time great, but LeBron losing to KD and to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson led Warriors. What?
Well, hold on a second here now.
Who's better?
Who's better what?
Who had the better team? Who do you think will chronically be better? The Bad Boy Pistons or the 6-17 or the 17 or the 16-17 or the 16-17 Warriors?
All right, let's rewind back. You put Michael on the team that LeBron was on when they played, when he was guarded by who was the little guy?
J.J. Barrett.
J.J. Barrett. You put Michael on that team. Who wins?
They lost. There's no refuting that. There's no getting around that. But we do realize that he lost to the Bad Boy Pistons.
That was a hell of a team.
Did he ever beat the Big Three Celtics?
No, but they weren't
so
ready to
do
it.
So now you want LeBron to beat hell of a team, KD, Steph, and Klay. By himself, right?
No, the KD, Steph, and Klay team, no. But the year that
which team did Michael beat? I just want to know, just tell me this. Which team did Michael beat that was better than the Warriors with KD?
Well, hold on. The team that he beat with
– I don't know.
No, he did not beat a team.
What?
Better than that. But the team – but neither did LeBron. LeBron beat the Warriors without KD. And
unanimous MVP. And with 73-9.
Steph Curry was hurt.
When did LeBron – you know, LeBron has never been – only been favored of the finals he's gone to. He's only been favored twice. When was Michael not favored?
Let me ask you this. The year that they beat the Spurs, who had the biggest shot? Was that not Ray Allen in the corner bailing him out? Didn't he miss a wide open three? Didn't he miss a bunch of them?
So we're not going to talk about being down by 10, scoring 16 of the 22 that it took.
Oh, this is good.
Huh? Are we going to do that? We're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about the GOAT.
When LeBron took the Cavs to the pinnacle and they won it and ended the drought, greatest accomplishment of his career.
When LeBron left the Heat, what happened?
Well,
when Michael left the Bulls, what did Scottie do?
What happened when Michael left in 98? They won. What's happened? It's been how many years has it been?
The team broke up. Scottie was gone. DJ, I'm talking about when Scottie left the first, when Michael left the first time.
Right. Well, the team made it to the second round of the playoffs.
What? So how far did he get?
So hold
on. Okay, when LeBron left the Cavaliers, tell me when LeBron left the Cavaliers. Okay, I'm waiting.
It was. It's a valid point. I like this conversation, Shannon. Let me ask you this. You're down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
All right, you need buckets.
Yeah.
Who are you giving the ball to, Mike?
No.
Yes.
If I'm down 10, I'm going to get the guy that's going to make the right play. A guy that can get me buckets.
MJ's not going to make the right play?
No, I just want to know one thing.
Yeah.
LeBron not a scorer. How he got all these points? How he got more points
than
Mike?
I didn't say he's not a scorer, but he doesn't score like Mike.
Could Mike assist like he could? Could he rebound like him?
How many triple-doubles in a row did he get when they put him at point guard when they asked him to do it? That's not his role.
He got 13 in a row.
Yeah, 13 in a row, no big deal.
And he still only got 23. So what happened the other year?
But that's not his role.
So what's LeBron's role? Is LeBron's role just to score?
That's the way he plays. This is you're the man. This is look. Can we do this again? I love it. Let me tell you who you're working with here, because I know you got to go. You tell us who you're working with. What do you got?
I'm working with Trunigen. It's an energy supplement that helps me get through the day. Helps me get up at 3 a.m. do my job to a high level. Go train a couple of times a day at a very high level. Do that over and over, and look great, feel great while I'm doing it.
We just had a great time together. I want to do it again. Great to see you. Three-time Super Bowl champ. Who you got in the game?
It's hard to go against family. I've been knowing Kyle Shanahan since he was 10. It's going to be hard to pick against family.
All right. Going with the Niners. Great to see you, Shannon. Thank you for checking out On The Mark. We all know that Shannon's wrong, but Shannon is entitled to his opinion. MJ, you're the man, despite what Shannon had to say. Thanks for listening. Check out the YouTube page again if you want to see more interviews from the Super Bowl. Subscribe, rate, let people know about On The Mark. Thanks to Shannon Sharp, Martha Stewart, Nick Wright. We'll see you next week.